Blog Talk Radio.
On the Edge, real talk about real issues.
Welcome, 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 everybody, to the On the Edge Show with Katie Barnett and friends. I'm your host, Katie Barnett, thanking God for another day of being here. We are in the middle of yet another discussion about yet another loss of life. You guys are hearing about it, that the riots are out there happening. We got to make sure that this kid gets justice, and we are definitely taking a stance as a community. So, before we get into discussing the rest or continuing our discussion, let's get into our shout-outs. We're going to first off thank Barry Mason of 98.7 Kits FM formerly. He is currently with isoradio.com doing his thing on Saturdays from 7 to 10 p.m. and again on Sundays from 6 to 10 p.m. When he's not doing that, he is gracing New York City with the best of live R&B events out there in the best of venues. As the CEO of that wonderful company, Track One Entertainment, head over to his website, track1entertainment.web.com. Check out what his calendar is holding and see how you can be a part of it. To my team, Lady Diamond, Elaine Yevis, DJ Dome, Rodney Williams, Monster Miles, and of course, our activist and channelist out there in Toledo, Ohio, Deacon Zeddy Williams, happy that he came back to return with us. Want to thank our social media groups on the Edge Race Listeners Lounge with Katie Barnett. Thanking our sponsor tonight, Mark Pittman and his two groups, Real World Black News and Discussions and the Black History Suppress Group. Thanking Linda Miller with the Black Love and Conversations Group. Thanking the Blog Talk Radio Directory Network. And want to thank Patrick Irvine with the Urban Intellectuals Open Discussions Group, Professor Carl John Jones with the What About Us Group, Sunny Tipton with the Black Mamba Group, and all of you that have been out there that's not part of the social media groups, but have been part of my social media interactions. I want to thank you all, and the Blog Talk people as well. Thank you all very much. So I want to make a nice announcement. Up and coming up in the fall, we will be airing with GoPro Radio Network in Jersey with Mr. Tylon Washington. We were going to be airing a sub-segment of the On the Edge Show every Wednesday from 10 p.m. to 12 a.m., and it's going to be called Katie Barnett Uncensored. It's an actual spinoff of this show during the regular broadcast week, just that it will be starting in September, and it will be called Katie Barnett Uncensored every Wednesday from 10 p.m. to 12 a.m. You will be seeing us also with simulcast on video with YouTube and Ustream, and guys, it's going to be awesome. We're going to be able to talk about everything we talk about here with more uncut, more intense, and this is what we are looking for. So I want to thank all of you that's out there who have been supporting us on and off the air. So thanking him, Tylon, thanking Jason Dodd with the AM-FM 247 network, who not only syndicates us on the web every Wednesday from 7 to 9, but he has a lot of terrestrial stations across the U.S. that is syndicating us as well. So Jason, thank you very much. Thanking Devon Lewis and Toledo, Ohio with the 93.1 jam-packed radio station out there who syndicates us every Sunday from 3 to 5 p.m. You guys have been fantastic and phenomenal in your support, so I thank you. Look out for more ventures coming up with the On the Edge radio show and friends. I want to thank my panelists, Erica Talbert, Kim Milton from Chicago, Elton Reek Atkins, Salo Jenkins, Patrick Irvine. We've been having some new people join us, Mr. Brother Maurice Muhammad. I'm sorry about that, guys. We have a little bit of a blip over here. Okay, so I want to thank Patrick Irvine. I want to thank Deacon Zeddy Williams. I want to thank Professor Carlton Jones. Thank Salo Jenkins, Alcerik Athens again, Erica and Kim. I want to thank all of you that have been on this panel, Darlene and Arlene. You guys have been phenomenal with your input. You've been passionate. You've been individually in your communities doing things as well as communally here. So I want to thank all of you for helping us join the mission. Like I said, we are continuing on discussing the events that are taking place across St. Louis with yet another loss unsensible, inexplicable laws to these teens that are being gunned down in broad daylight by vigilantes, and vigilantes that are dressed as cops, as well as people in the white Americans that's just feeling like, if we don't like the way you look, if we feel slightly threatened because your physique is a little bit bigger than ours, you're black, you're whatever it is, we get to shoot you the hell down. And that's exactly what's been happening. Despite anybody out there that's trying to cover it up, rose tint glass it, everything that's out there, this is what's happening. It doesn't matter what you try to believe of it. Let's look at what's taking damn place. What's taking place is that yet another child is not going to be able to see life past high school. Yet another child who has done nothing wrong to anyone is being subjected to the rage and ire and ignorance of prejudice, white supremacy, racism, anything that you want to throw in there to show the hatred for blacks. It's happening. The time for silence is over, apparently. And what I'm proud to say is that our young children are out there doing this. So, you know how this goes. We're going to go out with a pre-broadcast, pre-discussion song. When we get back after P.R. Robinson, the word from our sponsor, we're going to get this discussion moving. And after that, we're going to make sure that when we leave this table tonight, we're going to leave with some power going out, and we're going to make sure that this boy's death doesn't go unseen, unheard, and buried like all the others have. And we're going to commemorate the rest of our lost fallen soldiers out here to this horrible, horrible thing. Talk about all the things out there that's happening, where people once again are trying to make this not as bad as it is. So here's P.R. Robinson with Hip Hop for Dummies, talking about the racism aspect even in the hip hop world. When we get back after him, a word from our sponsors, we will get this discussion started. So don't go away. Keep it locked with Katie.
Started out in the Bronx and then something happened. Who would ever think you'd be rich from rapping? A stack for a bird, a rack for some words. Get a big old crib and the sticks and the birds. Came from the curb, still smell the herb. Still got the urge to bust off his mind's bird. 9mm, shooting at them speakers and listening in his ear. Blood on his sneakers, damn, how I could just kill a man. Everybody love a villain, rap by drug dealing. Riding in the whip, no roof, no ceiling. Champagne spilling, haters ice grilling. Looking at his man like, why ain't you kill him? Everybody wanna be a rapper, getting tow up. Well, 99% of these rappers will never blow up. And this is what you really wanna be when you grow up. Turn out in the Bronx and then something happened. He done got on the table and then start scratching. Best man the mic, then he start rapping. People got excited, then they start clapping. He was talking about his car, talking about his clothes, talking about his girl, talking about his goal, talking about what's happening in the ghetto when they love him. Started out in the Bronx and then something happened. Who would ever think be on the radio rapping? All in the video, even on Arsenio. Pump, pump, here we go. What's the scenario? All in together now, that's what the chicks say. He ain't even gotta say nothing, just hit play. It's crazy, got a buggin' off the mixtape. Do it for the minor industry, call him Miss Faye. Superhead, they said she get superhead. Kid said she even gave a superhead. Always backstage, trying to scheme on a new cat. Never heard his song, but still be like, who that? All thirsty, why you wanna do that? That's strong, why you let him do that? Miss Mimi on everybody TV, known for the shy ride, used to be the Stevie. Turned out in the Bronx and then something happened. DJ got on the table and then start scratching. Best man the mic, then he start rapping. People got excited, then they start clapping. He was talking about his car, talking about his clothes, talking about his girl, talking about his goal, talking about what's happening in the ghetto when they love you. Started out in the Bronx and then something happened. Who would ever think the white people would have grasped it? Who thought it would have lasted? They was making classics. Why you think Hella wasn't giving up the masses? Thought it wasn't fast till that cast started rolling in. Then they got greedy and whipped out that petroleum. They started raping these rappers, making these rappers do albums back to back and barely getting a dollar out of it. New names, new things for loose change. Big stars go hard for big fame. And they know that, the record labels know that. That advance, they know he gon' blow that. On like a watch chain, they tell you hold that. And once they get it, they got you, that's how they bought you. You try to get out the contract and they gon' blackball you. So watch who you sign to, cause they might outline you. Turn it out in the Bronx and then something happened. DJ got on the table and then start scratching.
best man on mic. Then he started rapping, people got excited. Then he started clapping, he was talking about his car, talking about his clothes, talking about his girl, talking about his goal, talking about what's happening in the ghetto when they love him. Started out in the Bronx and then something happened. DJ got on the table and then started scratching. Best man on mic, then he started rapping. People got excited, then he started clapping. He was talking about his car, talking about his clothes, talking about his girl, talking about his goal, talking about what's happening in the ghetto when they love him.
New York, New York. There's no place like it. You figure that out when you find yourself in a bit of trouble while vacationing or visiting in Florida. And Florida cops are sure as heck not like New York City cops. You're feeling more than put out or simply just confused with it all. But you want justice. You need it to be right and you want someone who understands where you're coming from. You need Kenneth Foote, attorney at law. Graduate of St. John's University and Florida Stetson University, he'll make sure you're back on track and everything's straightened away. Driving violations, personal injury, drug charges, he's here to work with you as well as for you. Leave nothing to chance. K.L. Foote, Attorneys at Law, 877-90-FOOTE or klfoote.com. Kenneth Foote, the New Yorker to contact in Florida.
The On the Edge Show with Katie Barnett and friends, the show that gives you real talk about real issues, needs your help. Katie and the gang are seeking out individuals and local business sponsors to help fund their projects for youth and minority communities to become re-empowered, featuring programs like the Spread Your Wings Showcase, offering free advertising to up-and-coming entrepreneurs, Youth Day giving public school grades 4 to 12 a taste of the arts, and All Hands on Deck, our new writer's showcase. On the Edge is looking to give back to our communities by giving our youth a future. Your small contribution will make a difference. Individuals or small businesses can choose to be a sponsor for any amount of time. And businesses can also choose to advertise with us at very reasonable rates. Choose any type of show sponsorship and you just may be a sponsor for a life. Visit us at Facebook at facebook.com on the Edge Show for more information on how you can be a part of our vision. We hope to see you there.
Now, back with more On the Edge.
Welcome back, everybody, to the On the Edge Show with Katie Barnett and friends. I'm your host, Katie Barnett. Once again, want to thank Mark Pittman, tonight's sponsor, for his contributions to the continuation of the show. All right, we are in the middle of discussing what everybody's been buzzing about, the St. Louis riots. Tonight, we're not just going to be touching on that. We're going to be touching on all aspects of our fallen residents of our community in this past year or so, the injustices involved with it. I'm commending those young kids, not so much for the riot, but for taking a stance where clearly the generation before them has failed to do so. And up until this point, we have been mowed down by what was supposed to be a group in place to stop this very thing from happening. How on earth can we have a protective group to stop danger that they are now the actual source of the danger? That is the problem. We are discussing Michael Brown. Everybody's coming forward that has been around, that forward took place. Du Bois, regardless of what, I mean, my personal opinion is, I don't give a damn what his mouth was like. I don't care. The whole point is if you had a smart mouth kid, and you were their parent, would you think about pulling out your gun to shoot them and empty a clip on the kid because he had a bad mouth or he did something you didn't like? Absolutely not. This boy was unarmed. And as far as I'm concerned, this was yet another action by a vigilante cop who had a problem with the person's appearance in front of him, specifically a black person's appearance in front of him. enough with everybody now trying to stop the effect. You sat there and made the cause happen over and over again when you could have done something. When you sat back and it was just another black kid that was getting shot, that was one thing. Now everybody's up in arms because for the first time in God knows how damn long, we're talking about it and we're doing something about it. Now, I want to bring up a couple of things. Out here in New York City, Mr. Mayor Bill de Blasio, okay, in reaction to the activists, if you want to call them that, that's out there trying to now make a protest in Staten Island about the Eric Garner chokehold death, we have now all these pleas happening where the mayor is trying to appeal to Reverend Al Sharpton not to go forward with it. Why? Not because he cares so much about the fact that it's another action that might fuel the fire, because according to him, the nice little mask that they used, which I'm sure some well-skilled publicist pulled out of the little royal hat in the White House administration, okay, has now said that it would tear New York City apart. What the hell did you think the boy's death did? Question people up there in the big old office. What do you think this man's unjustified death did? And then when he died, what you did was try to put the man's appearance on trial. The fact that he was overweight, the fact that he had a medical problem. And if that didn't work, let's go try to take a picture of the chokehold, but let's put a little CSI angle on it. And let's look, see, if you look really closely, he's not actually chokeholding. It just looks like he's chokeholding. But it's not really a real chokehold, really chokehold, really. Not really. He just sort of put the baton to his throat a little bit like that. So now, because there's going to be a rally, and Al Sharpton is pretty known for his opportunistic appearances, which in this case, I say go for it, Al. But now you want to keep things quiet. Let's keep things quiet. We don't want to cause a ruckus. The hell did you think was going to happen? And I'm trying to figure this out. You want to sit there and keep on throwing arson things, but you don't want the fire. You don't want things to burn. You just want to keep killing a couple of black kids. It's just about a couple of black people, right? What's the problem? It's not like they killed a white kid or anything. What's the problem with St. Louis? They've shot a boy down. So what? They've been doing it for years. How dare you people come up and have a voice now? Let's bring in the National Guard, because according to, what's her name? Let's see, what the hell was this lady's name? Nardi, Catherine Nardi, yeah. This is what we do all the time. This is what we're used to. This is our daily reality. We're used to just going out there and acting like monkeys in a zoo. Because that's what black people are, right? They're not people, they're monkeys. They're property. They're stuff to brand and sell. They're property. We can get sold off in newspapers like it's nothing. How dare you have a voice now? Guess what? Nope. We're not taking it. Not this time. We're not taking another Trayvon Martin, Jordan Davis, Jandai Cherry. None of these people are going to happen once again, and nothing happens from it. Good for you, young people. Show these old-timers what the hell it's about. Am I particularly happy that's a riot? No, not particularly. Am I happy that something was said? How damn near I am. Enough with the nonsense. Enough with the silence. Enough with the shoving these bodies underneath a rug like it's just a little spring dirt. Enough. Enough with you politicians trying to polish your seats for primary day. Enough with it. Enough with you trying to act like you're stepping into place now to calm the city down. The city's not calm. In case you haven't noticed, in case you missed it, even with black people's normal routine of going out there and blowing a couple of fireballs up in the air when they're pissed off and going back to their regularly scheduled programs, we do at least let you know we're pissed off. So clearly, you know, there was something about it that would upset us, you think? How many mothers do you need to send home crying to bury their babies before their babies could bury them? That's not the way it works in this world. Is that the way it's supposed to go? enough with this nonsense. Now you want to shut up about it. Now you want to try to cover up these vigilantism. The animals that call us animals. You give these people, without screening them, badges, guns, and authority. They don't have the right to have or don't know how to use. And you tell them, go protect the neighborhoods that we assign you to. Yet the neighborhoods that you assign them to, they don't want to be there. You want to know what a gated community is supposed to be? St. Louis, anyone? Got a couple of panelists already in. Let's get them started. Welcome to the show, Coley. You're on the air.
This is Kim. So,
welcome to the show.
Kim.
Oh, hi there, Kim. Yes,
hi.
I'm here.
Yeah,
give me 1 minute.
Okay, go
ahead. Yeah, let me bring the others in. Welcome to the show, Coley. You're on the air.
Hi, Katie.
Hey, Erica. Welcome back. Hold on. Let me get the other two. Welcome to the show, Coley. You're on the air.
Hey, Katie, you panelists. This is Professor Carl Tone Jones calling in from Philadelphia.
Hey, Professor, how are you?
All right, now.
Okay, let me bring the last one in. You'll be third on the mic, Professor. Welcome to the show, caller. You're on the air.
Hello, this is Carlos W. Jones of Stalo Jenkins.
Hey, Stalo, how are you? All right,
hey,
Kim, you're up. What's your take on this?
Well, I agree with you that the youth have stepped up, and I am just like looking at Antonio French, his post, and from what it looked like to me, because I was kind of checking his timeline, the youth is outside doing the actual protesting with the signs and, you know, telling the people that are driving by to get out your cars and come join us, and the other people are in the church having church with Al Sharpton and all of them. So I'm just proud of the youth. I'm proud of the youth. We just have to have a new mindset. Our youth is rejecting everything. I think Professor Carl might have said this before. Our youth is rejecting everything that we've given them because they know it's crap. I'm not going to sit in that church. For what? I'm not doing that. I'm not going to sing We Shall Overcome. I'm not doing that. I'm going to listen to the rap music that y'all letting us get fed, and I'm going to be more militant. So I'm just proud of the youth because they're doing what we incorrectly fed them to do, but is what they need to do to get out of the situation because we didn't do anything. We gave them everything. We didn't teach them anything. We didn't build anything. We didn't leave anything for them. All we did was let them grow up in front of the TV, listen to the rap music, and give them drugs. Give them drugs, but don't use drugs. So we just
Absolutely.
Gave them too many mixed messages. I'm done.
No, you can. You definitely got a voice here, and I agree with you. And before I move on to you, Erica, I want to tell you, Stalo, and you, Carl, that if for nothing else, when I looked at these kids today, I thought back to you guys. And I want to tell you, looking at them, I thank you guys again. And then you guys know that you guys are already my heroes. And I'm going to thank you again because obviously somebody out there is just like you, reaching the right people to make these kids come out and act the way that they are. And I'm going to tell you something else. Kim, the post that you tried me in the very last one, showing that these kids actually sent away a person that actually would agitate the crowd because agitation is what everybody fears that riots will offset what the true meaning of the action is. And what this man did, what this kid did was tell them, no, we're not with that junk today. You're going to go back where you are. Either you're in this to get the message out or you're going to go home. And that's one thing that I believe with all my heart, Professor, you first because you're the first one that I ever met. But I believe that the type of teaching and mission that you have with these youth is the result is what is on that line right now. And the same with you, Stalo, because that is what you guys do on a daily basis, the part that the media doesn't want us to see. The part that the media refuses to show, where they emulate everything else but what is. So let me say thank you for that, because that is, to me, a result of what your personal group in your area would have done. So clearly somebody else like-minded, like you and ourselves here, has reached these kids. So, Erica, it's up to you now, honey.
Hello to the other panelists. I just posted, and I tagged you in the UI group, about a young man, 24 years old, that was killed. He was shot on Monday night, but he died today by the hands of LAPD. What is it going to take for the black community to say enough is enough? We have such a disconnect between the blacks on the East Coast, West Coast, North, South, even blacks within the same state. We have such a disconnect that we don't even care what's going on with one another until it happened to us. There is no reason why right now the blacks in this country should be organizing to get together so that we could protest. There is no reason why at this point we shouldn't be so fed up, so pissed off that we're not organizing to let this country know, hell, you don't want us to be here, we don't want to be here, but it is what it is, so let's deal with one another. And if we're not going to deal with one another, then leave us the hell alone and let us be. That's all we ask. I don't know a black person in this country right now that is just overjoyed with being here because of the way we're being treated. But again, we weren't asked to be here. We were brought here, so we're making the best of it. In this article that I post on into the group, it said in the past month there's been 4 black men taken by the hands of the police. Eric Gardner, of course, we know him in New York. John Crawford, 22, was shot and killed August 5th by Ohio police in Walmart after he was spotted holding a toy rifle. Then Mike Brown and of course, this Mr. Ford, who died today. At what point are we going to say you cannot purge us out of this country? Because like I keep saying, that's what they're doing. They're desensitizing us to the point so when they begin the purge, it's going to be a, well, we're killing each other anyway. Well, they deserve to die. Well, they weren't so innocent. He stole a blunt. He had chemicals to make meth or whatever they said about Trayvon Martin. It's going to be to the point where they're not going to see us being innocent because of something we've done in our past. Or he cussed his teacher out. They're going to use something in our past to justify killing us for tomorrow. So yep. When it's presented that they're going to purge us, because, again, it's happening with the HIV/AIDS, that's purging us out. It's happening with the food they're feeding us, that's killing us, with the cancers, they're purging us out. But now they're going to do it in other ways. Then they make the city so violent where we live in poverty to the point that we're purging one another out, and we don't even know why we're doing it.
Absolutely.
So when are we going to get fed up? Not us. On the phone, because obviously we pissed off enough that we're taking time out of our night to call in for the show. When is Black America going to get pissed off enough that we're going to say, hey, enough is enough? I know someone right now that's trying to start a protest, but the person can't do it because the funding isn't there to take care of his family while he do boots on the ground. Back when Dr. King was doing his movement, he was taken care of. He didn't have to want for nothing. The King didn't want for anything because we saw that it was a need for the Civil Rights Act to be passed. Nothing's changed. And I don't know why black people are so brainwashed. They think we've come a long way. Nothing in this country has changed, and actually it's gotten worse because they got it so that we can't help one another out. We live in a time where social media is, I haven't met any of you, and some of us are like family. So we live in a time where social media connects us, but we're more disconnected than ever. Why is that?
My question, too. I've asked the same first question that you asked. When are we going to get pissed off enough? What does it take? If killing our babies isn't enough, if this particular young man, this last particular story where the riots have now started. How many times before has this happened? We weren't pissed off enough when Trayvon got the better of a big fat white man trying to beat him his head into a pulp. It's everything. When are we getting tired of our babies being shot down for no reason and then their post-mortem bodies being put on trial? You know, they did everything they could in the Trayvon Martin trial to make that the hell of a mockery that it was. Instead of them focusing on the fact that this grown man went after a kid who was doing nothing but passing through a gated community, which that was the crime. He was black and had the nerve to come through what they considered a restricted elite community. Okay? And they put his friend on trial for a bad English. They put his weed smoking on trial, if that was proven. But instead of dealing with the fact that this little boy's life was taken. Okay? That's what they did. Eric Garner, they put his weight and his medical condition on trial. Okay? Chandai Cherry, what the hell was their problem? Some white man was able to U-turn and shoot him down because how dare that big black buck be naked on the street? Because that's what the hell that was about. So they try to put him on trial. They try to put out that maybe he was gay. Maybe this was happening. Maybe they were, who knows what he was doing. What the hell does that matter? What does it matter what he was doing? What should have mattered is the person who took his clothes. What should have mattered is the man that had nothing to do with him, where he was no threat to anybody. That should have mattered. What should have mattered is that what was Eric Garner doing that caused this police people to believe that he needed to come up and attack him so badly? Here's the other thing. What did it matter what they were doing if there were no aggressiveness towards the police? The police are supposed to be there to deal with aggression and crime. Neither or was being committed at that time. I don't know what that background noise is, but I need somebody to take care of it. Okay, Professor, you're up.
Well, you know, I'm looking at what's happening, and I'm really thankful for Sister Kim, because, you know, she's been keeping us up with the Twitter updates, and now I'm even following Antonio French, and I've sent a few links his way. So hopefully, you know, we can continue this dialogue. And let's remember how the Arab Spring was won. It was won through the use of social media, allowing people to connect between Twitter and Google. So let's continue to use this so we can start to organize. And I believe organization has already taken place. I received several phone calls and messages today from parents who are telling me that their children are organizing protests to go down in a few days here in Philadelphia. So they asked me my opinion. I said, I'm with it. I'll be there so that I can, and I'm going to also help aid and assist them in that. I've gotten contact from other organizations who plan on making some moves at the site at Ground Zero up in Missouri. So, you know, we're going to continue to push things in that direction. One of the things that I've been thinking about, and it's ironic that Erica brought it up, is that we talk about the purge. And let's talk about what I like to call is, predictive programming. And many people didn't pay attention. But that movie, The Purge, the first one, came out about two, three years ago. And what did they have? What was the theme of that movie? It was a lynch mob chasing a black man. Everybody focuses on the fact that they went to this house full of white people. But you could akin that to somebody chasing a slave off the plantation and them running into a safe house and then them burning down the safe house to get to the slave. So that whole mindset was put in place. I heard, and from what I understand, the Purge 2 had a similar message about hoarding and going after black people and lynching them and committing all sorts of genocidal behavior towards us. So let's not forget that this stuff is being pumped in several different areas. Now let's talk about the media propaganda of what's going on out there in Missouri right now, where you have the FAA saying that there's a 3,000-mile airline block out to the point where you can't fly an airplane within 3,000 miles. What are you trying to tell the public about the people that are out there now? Are you trying to condemn the protesters as terrorists? Is that the message you're trying to sell? Because you wouldn't cover the actual story when it was unfolding. So now we have to make sure that we continue to get our narrative out, as Kim said earlier, in another broadcast, that we get our narrative out and get our story out the right way so we can tell the truth so that people can honestly see what's going on versus what's being propagated. Now, let's also talk about the fact that these officers nowadays, what's going on is nothing more than systematic white supremacy unveiling its hand. So what do I mean by that? You guys remember that Chad Ochocinco case when he was rearrested by the judge because he gave his lawyer a pat on the butt? That was her putting him in his place. The same things are going on out in the street. The police are just trying to put people in their place according to white systematic white supremacy. So based on systematic white supremacist formats and formulas, they are not supposed to have black people talking back. It's similar to what happened with Emmett Till. So we have to remember that these things aren't new. This is history revisited, history improved. And all these things are happening in accordance to them actually putting things in place where they're going to do some cleansing. That's why they're lining up outside of our town right now with tanks. What the hell do you need tanks for when the people you're bringing the tanks out for are not showing any weapons? You have police forces from 25 different districts in Ferguson as we speak, and probably more because that report was from last night. So what the hell is going on? I am proud of the youth, though, and I'm proud that they're not drinking the Kool-Aid of Al Sharpton's punch, and I'm proud that they're actually out there putting together a productive rally and support, and we should support them in every city in America. That's why I'm proud that I got messages from these youth reaching out to me, and that's why I'm going to be a part out on the street in a few days. And I can't tell you, but I'll show you better than I can tell you.
Absolutely. You know, we definitely, too many of us, as a matter of fact, are trying to sit back. You heard a couple of incidents last night on the air where a couple of people are sitting up there talking about, oh, well, one of them said he needed to get more evidence before he could make a sound decision on what took place with Michael Brown. Let's speak about all the other things that's come up. You guys have heard about Sean Bell. Sean Bell is a man that on his wedding day went to a strip club, okay, in Queens, New York, okay, went to a strip club. So many different aspects of the story came out trying to justify the police shooting a drunk man who came out celebrating his last day as a bachelor, about to marry the woman he loved with mother of his children. And the first thing that they did was, oh, well, the African-American cop was the one who said that they heard him say he's going to get a gun. He didn't do anything of the sort. He got behind the wheel of his car, sitting down accidentally, accelerated the car a little bit, hit the back of a police car. They came out shooting to kill. Okay, they got their little stories together and said, wait a minute, you got to say you thought you saw him reach for a weapon. No weapon found, as usual. Now, anybody who looked at Michael Brown standing in a mid-open parking lot or wherever it was and saw him with his hands out saying, don't shoot me, I'm unarmed, and still got fired upon, that has to go back and have some executive evidence seeking, is clearly trying to say, I don't want to see what I see. I don't want to see this. I don't want to see this white cop yet again shooting a young kid down who happens to be African-American. And you're right, Professor. The new crime that hasn't been listed in the books, that's been going around for some time, is that there's a crime in Section 1.000000.2 that says black people cannot talk back to a cop or they can get killed.
You know what else, Katie? And it's a sad commentary on where we are as black Americans. But these sorry, sorry, sad pieces of you-know-what, and I'm talking about black people, not all black people, but far too many, are sitting around memorializing, speaking out about Robin Williams, and they won't even comment, like, or even discuss what just happened with our children being murdered and shooting. And I want to clear something up. It's not just children. Because Eric Garner was 43 years old and minding his business, doing the police officer's work by breaking up a fight prior to their arrival on the scene. They're coming for us. The only question is, are we ready? And if we're not ready, what do we have to do to prepare ourselves for when they come?
Yeah.
They're showing up in riot gear. They're showing up with tanks. They're showing up with AR-15s, M-16s. You don't bring that to a civilian population. Now it makes sense as to why Homeland Security has stocked up on billions of rounds of hollow-tip ammunition. Now it's starting to make sense. Because when those white kids rioted last year out of that beach because they were told they couldn't surf anymore, nobody showed up with a damn thing.
absolutely right. I'm here in Penn Station, as I mentioned last night. I came off of work, walking out there, coming back from another meeting, and right as I'm going into the train station, right at the top of the train station, here's these guys in the middle of a busy tourist and shopping section. Here's these white cops armed to the letter like they're in Bosnia somewhere with high-powered rifles and real vicious dogs, which, by the way, seems to be very in tune to an African-American going by, because the dogs, they jumped up a little bit whenever a black person walked by, pretty calm when it was a Caucasian person walking by. So it's, you know, last night we had a call that said it was martial law. Guys, hold on. Let me bring this panelist in. Welcome to the show, caller. You're on the air.
Good evening, KB. This is Altree calling from Alabama, and to the panel as well.
Okay,
hey,
you know, yesterday when we were talking about we're under martial law, you know, yesterday he tried to compare, you know, the situation with Israel here. Yes, like we were talking yesterday, yes, absolutely. There's a good comparison, but at the same token, what Israel is going through, what, once every few periods, we're going through on a daily basis.
Yes.
On a daily basis, just because we wake up and breathe in the morning. You know, and whenever they happen to connect with one person, oh, we got another one. We're being used for a recreational target practice. Being that it's not as I guess, as openly legal as it was once, not now. It's like we have to come up with some pre-installed alibi, some explanation. We can clearly go back to this code and just use that, no problem. Blame it on the farmer, why don't you? And I'll ask again, when the hell are we mad enough? We can sit there for hours defending Jay-Z, but we can't sit there and like a comment about a kid's death that they tried to sweep under the rug. And how long did it take for the Michael Brown case to circulate around here? How long did it take? And only now that the riots are happening, is everybody up and buzzing? Not one person stood up there and said, let's talk about this. Let's talk about things that are a little less violent but just as detrimental. As was supposed to happen yesterday, which will happen next week. Let's talk about the fact that there's a black woman on public trial, pretty much, for breastfeeding a child at a graduation ceremony. She's a black American. The only time that they even bothered to speak to her was to get more dirt on what was going on. Meanwhile, a white mother doing the same thing in a worse way in front of restaurants that got a Today Show slot to defend her plot. Where were we as an African-American community getting pissed off that they buried this woman's credentials and not trying to recirculate it on our own merits? Kudos to these kids for doing what they're doing. Like I said, maybe I'm not too kudos with the riot, but if this is what the hell it takes, and if these kids, if this is the way that they're expressing themselves and they're taking the reins that they're parents were supposed to do, then good for them. And they seem to have more class about handling it than people do now. If it took the youth to teach us, then oh well. These kids were probably his friends or his classmates, and everybody else joined in. Good for you. Good for you. Enough with this garbage. Now here comes the politicians. Let's keep this down, shall we? Let's handle this in a different manner. Somebody's life was taken. This wasn't a burning down of one of your buildings. Somebody's life got taken for no freaking reason. And it was a kid that wasn't even 19 years old yet. Where were you to sit up there and say, this is a kid, we're pissed? We let this happen. We let this happen. Not why we think the way we do. We let everything we once had in place go down because nobody fought hard enough for people that were fighting for us. Nobody fought hard enough, and the ones that are in place now are doing for self. They're not doing for anybody but anybody that comes in and do their way or no way. So you don't count. rest of you, those of you sitting up there and bargaining for Jay-Z, I hope that that man finds it in his heart to give you one of his many open positions. Because he damn sure ain't doing a damn thing for these gunned-down black teens. Al Tariq, you're up, baby.
Mm-hmm. I was just basically listening to what was being said, and, you know, it's just that the people have to be, you know, truly fed up, you know, because just like the saying goes, you know, until you're truly ready to do something, you know, you're not going to do it till you're truly ready. So my thing is, you know, I'm tired of just being angry and nothing really getting moved, you know. And that's the type of stuff that, especially at this time in my life, tend to raise my blood pressure and stuff, you know. So I guess that everybody that's going to be making those moves just need to make them, you know, simple and plain. You know, it can't be that, and when I heard that echo of the day when I was watching when they had Sharpton and them and stuff like that out there, and then they always get in the past, oh, we got to do this the right way. We got to do this the right way. Don't you realize that we've been doing this the right way? We always get told we got to do this the right way. Well, what is the right damn way? Because every time when something happens with us, we got to see how the process goes. And if the process goes wrong or whatever, then it's back to business as usual. So that has to stop. And these old guys got to get out the way. They're at their end, you know, pretty much, you know. So many more years, let these young people that have a voice and stuff get up here. You know, and they're just using, they're contributing to what you would call the Willie Lynch, and you can see that these people in power is helping it to happen. When you get these people who don't really care and they want money when they come, or they're trying to enrich a certain position, you know, trying to put themselves in a place where they can get a better position than what they got. Man, y'all about 80, 90 years old, Dad. I mean, get on out the way and let these younger people do what needs to be done. And I get tired of all these people who've been in this thing for a long time, and they're not really doing nothing but coming somewhere talking and trying to diffuse things. When certain fuses get lit, they need to go ahead and go ahead and let them do what they're designed to do. You can't just keep holding back people like that. Like how doctors tell you, if you have to sneeze, sneeze. Don't hold it back. That's not healthy for you. So I feel that way when it comes to what we need to do as a people. We can't just keep being held back by others. And it's already hard enough when we're holding each other back at times. So we have to get out here and do what we need to be doing. And I know the kids are tired, and they'll be the ones anyway. That's how I'm feeling, because they were basically the ones that was out there raising the most singing. Only thing they need is the wisdom of their elders. And the rest, you know, they'll start doing like what they need to do because they're ready. They're ready, but if we're not, you know, the older ones, if we're not ready and they see all this cowardice with us, then they're not going to be able to move in the right manner. So they need the soldiers that's still in, those of us who's older, to be there present and showing that they care and stuff like that. And the movement will, you know, it'll really kick off. But until then, that's what's making it hard. You know, us people that's older, we pretty much doing like how they say in the promised land. We holding them back. And that's why the older ones didn't make it. And it was basically young people, because the older ones was too damn coward. So we got to get this thing right and organize these youth, the young males and females, and take the necessary steps to try to ensure our future. Because if we don't, then after a while, we won't have no future.
You're absolutely right, Al Tariq. And you know what? touching on a couple of things that you just mentioned. A, I have a little theory. If you're not going to do it, don't undo it. So for all you old people who sat back and, you know, or not even just the old people, those, as we like to say, that kept pretending to be asleep, now that you're peeking out your pretend nap and you see what's going on, don't stand up now and have some backseat negativity to say about it. As a matter of fact, since clearly you failed your kids up to this point, the least you could do is stand back and make sure that they get through this. Okay, that's number one. Number two, it pisses me the hell off. It pisses me the hell off, and I'm going to say it again. It pisses me off to hear people who walk through the era that this modern-day thing is just another expansion, even worse off, that was there when this thing initiated, and can sit here today and say, we have to sit back and look and check it out a little more. You know what? It's not as bad as it used to be. Maybe if our kids would have shut up just a little bit, this would never have happened.
Oh, my God.
Did we not hear this before from somebody right in that very town saying that, why don't we teach our kids how to keep the music down? Why don't we teach our kids how to respect them, because you know what's going to happen if they open their mouth? Isn't that what we heard? From somebody who walked the era when that was the time where you could walk out the door and get snacks for drinking from the rock fountain. It kills me to no end to hear that people who walk that shit can sit there and say what they say now. It kills me that people who are in this the middle of this mess and has managed to do something can sit back there and excuse their behavior by saying, well, they don't want to do anything for themselves anyway, so who am I to make it a little bit better?
That's their mentality.
It kills me, because you know what? What if it was one of yours that got shot down? Would you want the community you don't help to sit there and say, well, you don't do anything for us, so why should we help you? When do we get to the point that we are damn one people in one community, regardless of what God we serve, regardless of what clubs we belong to, regardless of which part of town we live in, that if there was somebody coming in to blow us up because we're black no matter which God we serve?
Mm.
And how dare you as an elder sit back there and try to cover up this garbage? This is nonsense. How dare you sit back there and say your children should shut up about it? And another thing that you just mentioned about doing the right thing, my God, Al Tariq, am I with you on that frustration? The way I see it is like this. If you're constantly being come at, somebody keeps coming at you with a knife, that if they press a button, it can stab you from a trajectory angle. Okay, and you're busy going, now look, I'm coming with verbal knowledge now. I'm coming to speak to you, okay? Let's talk. And all they want to do is bring that knife.
No.
The reason goes out the damn window, because you know what? You're trying to reason with somebody who's not reasonable.
Mm-hmm.
So you, like you said, when the hell is it the right time? What is the right thing to do? When the hell is defending yourself also the right thing to do? Kudos to you kids out in St. Louis. And if it took you to make other people in different parts of town protest and do the same, then I'd say good for you. The nerve of you people, you cowards sitting back there, and you sit up there, you'd rather deflect to people who don't give a flying hell about you and let them march over your babies, rape your girls, you know, kill your kids, blow your sons up, kill your grandchildren, because it's not as bad as it used to be, and if we just shut up, the rattlesnakes won't wake up. They're fighting you anyway. They're having unspoken laws that nobody is sitting up there allowing them to be accountable for. Unspoken, unwritten laws. Something that you can't sit and go into the very book that they're supposed to operate under and say, oh, we found something in this book that justifies what you did. And tell me, why is it that the mentality of the vigilante group forces that we have called cops immediately believe that once they call for any type of situation that involves an African-American culprit, that the ultimate solution is to gun them the hell down, or you must come with a pack of people to deal with this one person, whether it was an aggressive crime reported or not?
Mm-hmm. That's how it's always been, the mob mentality. When it's come to us, before the police officers, that's how they dealt with us in mob mentality. Because even when they, you know, when they were wrong, they came with more than one. because they always felt that, you know, for some reason that more than likely just one of them wasn't going to be able to get the job done. So, you know, it's the same thing nowadays in our present time. So when the police come, they coming with more than one, you know, because, oh, we got to deal with these scary, intimidating black men. So, and that's been a part of that culture, a part of the culture for so many years. They're just used to the mob mentality. It's like how the Klan was. We're not just coming with one, you know, one with the hood on. We're coming with a bunch. And that's how they carry it out. And, you know, with the police, especially when it comes to us, they're going to call a bunch of people. I see them here. You pull a person over, one person over in the hood, before you know it, it's like five or six cars around it. And it's one
person. You forgot one little part when you said they come with more than one. There's one little word you forgot. They come with more than one department to deal with one black man. More than one department. They come with different units. They come with different police departments. They come with different aspects of law enforcement. They come with National Guard. Because we're just a bunch of monkeys that went wild in the zoo. Now, here's the other thing that pissed me off. And then there's a panelist I got to bring in, and I have to go to Stalo because he's been kind of quiet in the corner. There's something today. You know, Professor, I'm going to avert to you on this one. You know how one of my main pet peeves with our people is when a satirical article about us comes out that we're so focused more on being relieved about the fact that the article is satirical, not what the content is about. You with me on that, right, Professor?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Well, today when we posted out, and I don't know if you guys saw it, it was Ashley, okay, forgot her last name, but Ashley posted out this comment about this woman, Catherine Nardi, and I believe you spread you shared the post, who was saying,
sure,
you know, all these horrible things about black people, that's their usual daily life, and, you know, all this stuff, and, you know, how dare they be upset, and all they do is become murderers and thugs and all this other stuff, right? Okay. One of the damn comments that was made in the long line of people who were voicing their ire and their rage with the situation had the nerve to say, before you guys go posting things out, you really should check your sources, because this is not the police chief's wife. The police chief's wife is named Patricia. Shaking my head. I'm shaking my head at you, you damn ignorant idiot. It don't matter if it's the police chief's wife. A white woman said it.
I know that particular moron. Actually, he ruined a friend of mine's wedding. So he is habitual in doing moronic things. So I wouldn't take any stock in what he said. The bottom line is it was a real post by a real person who, under public scrutiny, decided to pull the post down. And there were several people who responded to her in kind. So hopefully she doesn't have a job in the morning, like the other dummy that posted up in the blackface of Trayvon Martin last year for Halloween. So, you know, and real quick, because I know you have to get to your panelists and stay low. You know, another thing that we need to understand is the Ku Klux Klan made a showing of an appearance out there, and they were protected by the police. So whose side do you think the police are on? This is for the people who are on the fence, who believe that in all that fairness, this is for deputy whatever the hell, Sarge, whatever his name is, this is for him. Whose side was the police on when they were protecting the Klan, but they were dressed in army regalia and tanks and automatic rifles and things directed towards the blacks who did not have any weapons? Whose side were the police representing there?
Lord, I hope it's from Patrick, because he made a very powerful statement in one of his videos, the, you know, Stop Being Silent video, where he said, black people are outraged enough. We have enough to be outraged about. So pretty much what it looks like is that we hear about something, we get outraged, we go outside, we have a little protest, then we go back in and we wait for the next incident to be outraged about. We don't do anything, we don't do whatever. That's what they're doing, and you're absolutely right, Professor. If this man who sat up there and had the nerve to give the police some credence, okay, some benefit of the doubt, which is the five worst words for black America, okay, when it comes to a situation like this, all right, if you can sit there and point out the Ku Klux Klan was protected by the very police who shot a black man, something that the Ku Klux Klan works every day to make a daily routine and target to do. Their daily goal is to bring down, destroy, destruct, dissect, blow up, eviscerate, emasculate any man that's black. And you still think that those damn people deserve the right to get another look before you say anything? I hate to see what the hell the confusion is doing to your daily life.
Well, I wanted to say, Katie, that the Klan is a terrorist group that has actually killed thousands of black people, yet they're here. And all of our groups haven't killed anybody.
Right. They're not seeing that. They're not seeing that Jordan Davis wasn't a kid that, you know, normally goes around just starting trouble. They're seeing the fact that the white man said something the black kid did disturbed him. So he deserved to get a trial to check things out. All right? They're not giving a shit that the girl that was shot through the door was hurt. They saw her intoxication. They don't care that Eric Garner was standing there and not doing a damn thing, but this mob of cops, vigilantes, came forward and choked him to death with an illegal maneuver that their own white organization said was illegal. And guess what? The politicians of that area is still not trying to talk about the actual thing. They're trying to stop a riot. You want to talk about terrorist groups and support groups? Support for terrorists? The terrorist isn't Obama or Osama bin Laden. The terrorists are right here and on our own soil. How dare you people sit back there and pretend nothing happened? And if you are over 50, Lord knows somebody should shoot you on sight. You want to sit there and pretend that we have a way to be peaceful at this? Not even the civil rights leaders who asked for peace believe peace could happen. Let me bring in our panelists, but before they speak, Stalo, you with us?
Oh, yeah, I'm still with you.
All right, I'm going to bring in the panelists, and you have the mic up first. Hang on. Welcome to the show, Cole. Are you on the air?
Hello.
Hey, Deacon, what's up?
Hello. Good evening, and blessings to all you and the panel that are listening and all the listeners that are in. Wow, this is very powerful this evening, y'all.
All right, Deacon, hold on, because Taylor kind of been waiting, so he gets the mic before mm-hmm. you, okay?
Okay.
All right, go ahead,
Samuel,
babe. What's up?
Man, I just want to say that, man, we
you have to speak up because today I don't want nobody muffled.
Man, we have to take this very seriously, man. We have to do it the right way, like you said, like. And the reason we haven't done it the right way up until this point, this is a build up. This has been happening, but we have been without black independent organization, and this is a time to build and lean on that. We have no political black independent organization, you know, amongst us. And we need that. We have those of us that have rejected the revolution. You know, many will. And you're going to have the skeptics. They're going to come at you every day. But at the end of the day, you know, the deaths. People are dying in the streets, you know, it's crying, it's tears, it's bloodshed. Just recently, somebody died out here because the police chased down a motorcycle and ran him over, you know, a guy out here in D.C., man. This is terrible. So we have to stick to our guns. We have to make the decision to do so, you know what I mean, amongst us, you know, those of us listening, you know. I remember, you know, years ago, man. You know, and because this is dedicated to it, I have a lot of lost or loved ones that are gone. But I remember even being 16 back when this was even going on at a greater rate. But there was no media, you know, there was no media back then. But I remember even being, you know, having to be drugged through the memory of a person that was very close to me. like almost like a best friend, was killed. Yes, committing a crime, but we were both 16. Was committing a crime was the lookout of some people still in the car. He ended up getting shot and killed. That's only 16-year-old. Everybody else a little older. But he was still a child, you know. He was still, you know, a kid like me, budding with possibility and potential. Still the same as me. You know, he died. And then the next day is on the news. The next day is in the paper. And the next day I'm on the bus and I'm listening to some old guys talk about, yeah, if it was me, I'd have shot his little ass too. And I'm listening to the people say this, and it hurt me so bad. I'm only 16, but these old folks, you know, and I'm sitting there like, this is crazy, you know. But this is before media. Now we got media, you know, we got, so many of us have started, you know, and witnessing, you know, the immediate result of all the negative media boom that started in the 80s. At that time, the only media was just projected totally as done. You know, we didn't have any control over it or any, you know, the liaison with the internet inside. You know, I remember somebody was just saying that when King was here, he didn't want for anything, and I understand that. But we can't alienate any of our people in the back. Like, you can't even bash our leaders because if we alienate our lines. Even the ones that's doing wrong, even the ones that's not doing what they could be doing, that still could kill a possibility for our own network, our own liaison into the next generation of leadership, you know. So we need to stay away from that because part of that is part of the reason that we haven't done anything up until this point. Part of the reason he ain't doing nothing, per se, you know. And it's part of what's going on here. You know, we are all under the finger, you know. You know, and at the end of the day, you know, with what's going on in Missouri, it's going on all over the place. It's going on everywhere right now, as we speak. You know, what goes on, what is happening, is not even an isolated instance whatsoever. And none of us can deny that. You know, every day, you know, the neighborhood I serve, where you know, where I have. Our academic reinforcement center and this and that. You know, the police post every day, nearly 24/7. I'm not going to say that. I'm going to say every evening, entirely every evening, every day. I'm not even going to say they post. I'm going to rather say they sit on post every single day in our community. And that's outrageous because, you know, how dare we allow, and then at the end of the day, you know, I'm all for enforcing law, but at the end of the day, if let's say this is Missouri, and I know there's communities in Missouri just like the community out here now that has to sit under the guard of the police and law enforcement that don't care about us whatsoever, alienated from our community, shouldn't even be there enforcing law because they don't even care. You know, they'll kill your child in the streets as we see. And I know there's communities out in Missouri just like ours where the police right now are sitting on post every single day, waiting on somebody to breathe wrong so they can go and harass and whatsoever. Yet and still, they just killed another young gentleman in the street. But they're allowed in the community to and can just sit on post and eat donuts in the car, per se. You know, and all police are the same person. Are not. Definitely are not. But come on. You know what we're talking about. And if the police, matter of fact, was the Klan was there, right? Were they protecting the police? Or was the police protecting them? What was the side? How did it work, really? They might have been protecting the police. What is that, a scare tactic? Why are you standing with the police? Oh, so we won't jump on the police because the police got that white supremacy backing? You see, at the end of this day, a lot of it these are gestures. They know what they're doing. The person from the police department, who is a member of the Klan, called his Klan members to even be there. Knew the Klan when they got there. You know, in reality, it was just a gesture to try to keep us a little bit subservient and less rowdy. The funny thing is, but those of us who are awake, we outraged. I'm outraged, of course. You know, but the thing is, these, you know, it's a lot going on. It's the time to make a decision. I'm going to just say it like that. Define these problems exactly, you know, and canvas some of these possibilities. And in doing so, remember that we have to live everyday life now, you know.
I agree with you. And one of the things that we have got to start getting is this. If the police were acting in their rightful capacity, where whatever job descriptions as a policeman, this, I don't normally call out, I don't normally call out a caller that, you know, said something that we may not agree with. But in this respect, I agree with you, Professor, in directing this at Sarge. He's a former police officer, a retired police officer. He's an elderly black man, I guess, according to what he's saying. He's believing in the fact that there's really strict laws for police officers. Police officers really have to explain discharging their weapons. My question is to this person, if that's the case, then what's the reason why we have so many of these blatant massive murders against our people? If they're so much under the scrutiny, if they're so punished, why on earth and how on earth are all our kids being such the big headlines for these horrible tragedies? Cared so much about being reprimanded, would they be so blatant with it, knowing that it's going to become a headline, a front page, a circulated social media thing? It's going to become a scandal. Do they really give a damn? And I don't know how many which ways you can have a live picture show showing you these things, and you can still sit there and go, no, that's not what I saw in the performance. I didn't see a white man shoot a black guy with his hands up in the air. I saw the fact that just before that, there was a possibility that this black boy did something in the car. Meanwhile, nobody wants to talk about the details about what happened. Everybody's still giving you vague details about what took place. People are speculating. Little bits of press-approved details are being come out. But the bottom line is what you saw for your own eyes was the kid getting gunned down. No matter what took place just before that, in the end, there was no danger. Deacon, what is your take on the situation?
Like I said, this is a very powerful show this evening. It's no surprise to me because you stay on top of things. First of all, I'd like to say I'm angered. I'm outraged. And like my brother Stalo said, that this is not just a St. Louis thing. You know, this is happening every day in just about every state you could think of when it comes to our race of people. And my question is, when are we going to be awakened and stop walking around here with our eyes wide shut and start coming together in order to strengthen ourselves so something like this won't keep happening? Because if we don't do just that, this is the outcome. They're going to feel like they can just pick us off anytime they get ready, and they're going to go through all the rhetoric and everything in the court system, their court system, and do what they want to do anyway. So that's my question is when? When are we going to wake up our people? When? When are we? You know, we keep getting the signs every day. You pick up the newspaper and another young one of ours has gone.
You know? How many could it have been? Like, just imagine. Imagine being one of yours, and then imagine how many that could have been. Just imagine.
Yeah.
You know, they try.
When are we as a community going to start saying, to hell with the badges and guns, because once this person went off as a vigilante, he is no longer an officer of the law. He is working outside of the law, therefore, he is fair game. When you start gunning down a person that's a child or just because he's black and there's nothing within your rightful list of crimes being committed, and you acted as if a crime was in progress. When do we as a community say we have the right to exercise our right to have civilians arrest, some citizens arrest,
and
make a
what?
Statement that way?
When do we get to that point?
Go ahead. Who is it, Professor?
No, that's Stalo. I'm sorry, but that's assuming that we are out there, you know, carrying guns and stuff just because, you know, that we're out in the hood and stuff. But remember, most inner cities, it's illegal to carry handguns. Black people to carry handguns in most inner cities. So systematically, we it's so many things we drawing attention to for real. You know, Missouri here in D.C. You know, so many black men go to jail every day just for carrying a gun.
I don't know, but did anybody see them kids that's protesting right now carrying handguns?
No.
I might be wrong.
And see, so it's ridiculous. So now you have people, the only people with guns capable of murder with a firearm are law enforcement. And think about how many people die. So think about this. If the only people with guns are law enforcement, then all the guns, when they get to the streets, they came from law enforcement, from somehow. They had to. Because if nobody in D.C. and no one in these inner cities, black, are supposed to carry guns, like for real, when we think about it, they had to come from law enforcement. There's no other way where they came from. So once these guns came, that means anybody they killed is really on whose head. Now, if we really think about it, all these murders on the streets, we could probably attribute them to whoever these guns coming from. But think about it. Where
know,
the guns coming from?
Come on,
now. Ain't no guns here, you know, per se. You know, here, they don't emerge from here, per se. You understand what I mean? So there's some real stuff, man. We dying every day. Every day in the police post every day. They died last night. They died the night before. And they post every day. If you live on one of the main streets, you cannot sleep because you have red and blue lights blinking all night, every day, out here. Every day.
Here, too.
And I'll point out again, our young people are standing on the front lines right now without a damn weapon in their pocket, just their anger, their mouth, and their right to protest. Okay, I'll say that. And like I said, I may not be a fan of actual rioting, but I will tell you that it went from starting out as a riot to now it's a classy protest. And they're getting their message across. So what happened to us older people who actually walked through and were a little closer to it being right directly in your face?
Mm-hmm. You want me to give you an eye-opening experience? I saw a man that was selling guns behind a liquor store here in Toledo. They busted him. Less than three days later, he was back on the street doing the same thing, selling guns to these young men out here.
Yeah, why would they care? It's a black man selling to a black neighborhood. Let the little idiots kill themselves off.
So that's why that's why I say, when are we going to start doing something about it? If we sit back and act like, well, we don't care about it. Okay, if we don't, they don't care about it, we love it for them. Let them, but yeah, no. It's the time is long overdue for us to start standing up on our own, man. We can't be relying on other people to do stuff for us.
Absolutely.
We have to clean up our own house. We have to clean up our own house also, because everywhere you go, there's dirt that needs to be cleaned. So we need to start with ourselves. And that's the only way we can start working on other things that affect us.
You know what, Deacon, I'm with that, but I'm going to tell you, like I usually say on the show, right now we are so broken dissolved, dissected, messed up to the point for whatever the reasons are, be it our history, be it the white supremacist in action, consistently in action, whatever it is, we got to deal with the fact that we've got bigger things to deal with first before we can start cleaning up the inside. And what I mean by that is some things that are internally a problem, we kind of got to instantly fix so that we could do our little makeshift standout like these kids are doing. But we really, right at this moment, fixing ourselves is a process, which we don't have time to work on at this moment, because while we're trying to get there, there's bombs, not literal bombs, but there's bombs being thrown at us right now. So we have to figure out a way to fend off. We have to figure out a way to fend off those outside bombs so that we have the room to breathe to work on what we ultimately need to work on. Right now, we got to deal with what's imminent in front of us.
Yes.
And we got to put away whatever big one. Go ahead.
And I'm on Antonio French's Twitter feed right now. There are four young brothers on the street, on the ground, on Chamber Street or Chamber Avenue. And also there are people being arrested for yelling out of their windows. So this is what's going on right now. So we're talking about people standing up and stepping up. I'm watching the video right now on Antonio French. Antonio French. So if anybody has Twitter, go to Antonio French. He is giving live feeds up to the second about what's going on. We need to make sure we send his feed everywhere. So if you got Twitter, if you don't have Twitter, you need to get Twitter and go to Antonio French's page and share and repost everything that he's putting up so that everybody that's in your circle can see what's going on and express for them to retweet everything that they see. Because right now, this is revolution. And as the saying goes, the revolution will not be televised. But there's another saying out right now that the revolution will be streamed. So we need to stream this. Because what's happening right now is...
Right.
He just tweeted that he let the men go and the crowd was cheering.
And we have to get our narrative out there, like the professor said, so that our kids don't get slaughtered. You know, we got to know that these are revolutionaries out there. These ain't no, this ain't what they want it to be. All right. So you were absolutely right earlier, professor. I think we do need to get another perspective on our children out there. Out there, and that's what that's one of the sad things we need to always be concerned with right now.
Yes.
If they are out there banging on our kids without reason, they are not within their if they are out there beating on our kids, beating on our residents without any real crime in action, they're not acting within the parameters of a true police officer. So in my opinion, they're fair game. Okay? When they knocked Eric Garner to the ground and took his life, they put the people who recorded on trial. You know why? Because they had to find some dirt on a person that captured their bullshit red-handed. Okay? When they sit up there now, they want to find a gun on the man, and now they're going after his girlfriend. You let that be told, by the time they're through with those two people, they're going to deflect from the video coverage and say that, oh, yeah, and this one was in prostitution. And what? She could be screwing 100 men doing fellatio on 90,000. She took a video of you in action now. That's not going to stop the fact that the video is correct. So now what? And if all of us sitting around going, yeah, well, she was a prostitute, and what? Wake up. That prostitute took a video camera of this man getting killed by a vigilante cop. A satirical article that's talking about something, so what, it's not true. The content is. When are we going to get that, Black America? Your baby got killed, and the prostitute took the video coverage of it. So what? After they get the guy who shot your baby, then we could talk about our solicitation problems. After they get this video camera from this person and put it in there as evidence against the bastard, then you can start talking about his gun possession. And considering the fact that where he lived, taking the video coverage, he needs the gun against the damn cops. Now what? Enough already with the excuses and the rose-colored glasses. Enough. We're burying your damn heads in the sand while your kids are getting shot around you. Renisha McBride was drunk, and what? Drinking means what? She gets to get her eyes blown out through a closed screen door because just being black, she was somebody's threat. Tired yet? You need another slideshow? You need another movie? Oscar Grant, what was his problem? He got tased by the police and still shot to death. Because clearly black guys can get to electric voltage, too. They're a threat even with electricity in their bodies. How many more funerals do you need to go to but at the hands of the people who are supposed to be protecting the community?
Oh, wait. You said Oscar Grant was tased and shot?
Yes. They tased him.
Is that how they showed it in the movie?
They tased him, yes.
Well, in the real footage that I saw, that like as soon as it happened, I saw that police officer shoot him in the back without ever touching the taser, ever going for a taser, none of that. There was no taser even present or even there was a claim in the next day in the paper that he accidentally was going for a taser, thought it was a taser and shot him by accident. Yes. But I saw that. I haven't seen the good footage in a long time. I don't know if it's even still around. But I saw it. And I heard the taser story the next day. But there was no taser.
Well, let's even talk about that. So he went for the taser but accidentally found his gun first. So if he was going to tase the guy, which would have been already subduing the threat, oh, you know what? The gun's a better option. Let's just shoot the nigger down, why don't we?
Wow. So they showed that in the movie? That's crazy. I didn't even see the movie yet. I never saw, what's the call?
I just saw it. And I'm pissed off either way you look at it. Okay? Because either way, even in the movie, they were sitting down, not resisting arrest. His face was in the damn ground. So unless he could do some acrobatic back kick and kick this man and all the guys around them, you tell me what was the need for any of those damn weapons.
The movie was Fruitvale Station.
What, arrested while black?
Yeah, the movie was Fruitvale Station.
And then here we go. Today I'm watching a footage of a sister, okay, that was talking to the police on the St. Louis front lines. You know, she was a spokesperson for the crowd, speaking about how she didn't want, they believe that no justice was going to be done for Michael Brown. They believe that this is going to go again. All this time, she's saying some powerful stuff. You know what they had to do, right? They had to go get somebody in who's wearing an official uniform to shut her up before her sentence was completed. So that message couldn't fully be delivered. And they made sure that they did it with an African-American person in an official uniform so that the crowd wouldn't think that it was a tactic by white people trying to shut her up. What they did was say, listen, you're the police chief here. You need to go in there and bring your people down. Isn't that what they showed in Malcolm X's movie? They're just too rowdy. There shouldn't be so many black people sitting up there with so many voices. The louder they get, the more trouble there's going to be. Hurry up. Go shut them up before they make... Listen, if we get involved, you know what's going to happen. Your people are going to get shot. So shut that sister up who's making sense, who's pointing out the stuff that truly is going on. Shut her up, won't you? And here we go, yes, Massa, I'm coming now. Here, let's go. Yeah, listen, what we're trying to say, everyone, is that this is going to be investigated, right? And we're going to make sure that justice is served. Cold, perhaps, in a Tupperware that you got a microwave to bring back to life, perhaps. How the hell do you justify a kid with his hands up in the air saying, please don't shoot me, pow, 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 time set? I'm disgusted beyond being disgusted.
You know, and they crying from the grave right now. Our children, all day, every day. You know, when will they be, you know, validated or avenged or this or that? You know, I mean, it's real. It's in scripture too. You know, and they are martyrs, man. You know, they didn't have a choice to be subject to so much. You know, they haven't had the choice to be subject to the harassment, the brutality, the police officers. They haven't had the choice. You know, these are the ones that now sacrifice badly. You know, just by a broken kingdom that we have, man. We're black people, and we are rebuilding. Look,
wow. Salo, I don't mean to cut you, but I just came across a link, okay? Now in St. Louis, journalists are faced the threat of tear gas by police because they're trying to cover the protest right now.
Oh, yeah. My God. Can't nobody get there, too. That's crazy.
The Huffington Post is reporting right this minute that the police are trying to tear gas journalists who are trying to cover the Ferguson protest right now.
Wow.
You rotten bastards.
Wow.
People, we better wake up and pay attention to what's going on.
You rotten bastards. You. Oh, God. Yo, this is not even funny. I'm not laughing because I'm funny. I mean, what the hell do you do after all of this? You know, now the press? They're going to tear gas the press?
Yeah, Katie, I feel your laughter. I felt that when I read President Obama's statement. Did y'all read that?
No, honey, what did he say?
Oh, my goodness. See if I can find it. I was laughing to keep from crying. I was like, oh, my goodness. Let's see if I can get it. Because somebody, they posted the text of it. Because I think it was on the Source, which I think is a hip-hop website. And, you know, if y'all have any people that have blogs or media websites, since they're blacking out the regular media, our media can come up by having the footage. You know, if it's by the blog or online, because we need to have a consistent way of getting the message out. As you said, Professor Carl,
I think Professor Carl is off right now.
Oh, he's off. Okay.
Yeah, I think they dropped.
Mr. Antonio French, he's been keeping up with it, but you know, as we move to the other cities. We need to have somebody, and now I don't see it. We need to have somebody, there it is, okay. We need to have somebody covering the story so that we can, you know, make sure that we have some footage and we have it, because if they get it, they're going to destroy it and rewrite the story.
Yep. They're going to take out the parts that look too messed up for their end, even though this is already a messed up story. Listen, we know about the watered down, the dilution, the mixing, the dissecting. We know that happens. We've seen it.
Right.
You know what? I had a big debate with a young lady today, and I'm going to tell you. And I had this debate with another. Matter of fact, it might have been the same man that called last night, where they told us, well, statistics say, statistics done by whom? Because I'm going to tell you right now, there's been nobody in my personal neighborhood who saw the three little girls that got raped and killed by a white person that went away in a building somewhere and that person got away. There was nobody in Salo's neighborhood coming to find out what happened to that little 11-year-old boy that got shot in the back by an off-duty white cop that was told that he had a gun. Meanwhile, there was no gun found on the guy, and he was shot in the back. So how could he shoot himself? So you tell me who these surveyors are. Who are these research data collectors coming in to talk about what the hell is taking place in the black community?
Some more.
Whose statistics are you counting on? Did it come to the hood, really?
Exactly, because I don't blame either.
If they're too damn afraid to even walk in the same block that we're walking in, how the hell can they have some true data
right.
to circulate to the world? Nobody came here and asked me if we were able to get jobs in the last 10 years.
Right.
And then this person on our panel had the nerve to say that statistically, what would you say is the percentage of justified homicides by a cop to a black person? What's the percentage you would put up there?
I'll tell you this. Nationally, it's known that in Washington, D.C., PG County, that every 25 to 28 days is an unjustified one.
Wow.
That gets to the record. That's the
yeah.
national record. If you want that, if they want the statistics, they can get them with the breakdown. See, they fake.
See, you honestly think that anybody who is on the side of the people that they're taking this data from is going to deliberately and willfully put out new data about what their people are doing in the wrong? Really? Statistics say that black people are a lot more powerful than they're saying. And statistically, black men have more power than, they're saying. And, who is taking these statistics? And which black neighborhood are they taking it from?
In what way are you trying to gather the statistics? So obviously, you have an agenda as to trying to show how much power black people don't or do have, but you're trying to make them seem like they have more power. So your statistics don't matter. Because you are a biased society, we wouldn't even accept you. Go away. See, the thing is, people stop being lame and talking trash, okay? Because that's not even acceptable. Who would even gather that statistic? It's not even standardized. Whatever we have standardized, it's shown the power. You want to see the power is there. You know, the buying power within the black race is high, but that's not. But if you look at economic power, which is different, these are people fake. They fake and they keep talking.
I found the post about the what the president said. The death of Michael Brown is heartbreaking. And Michelle and I send our deepest condolences to his family and his community at this very difficult time. As Attorney General Holder has indicated, the Department of Justice is investigating the situation along with local officials, and they will continue to direct resources to the case as needed. I know the events of the past few days have prompted strong passions, but as details unfold, I urge everyone in Ferguson, Missouri, and across the country to remember this young man through reflection and understanding. We should comfort each other and talk with one another in a way that heals, not in a way that wounds. Along with our prayers, that's what Michael and his family and our broader American community deserve. What is broader American community? What does that mean?
Tell the cops to speak with understanding.
Broader than what?
Tell the administration beneath you to stop directing you to have these publicist college statements and take
right,
a damn look without the shades on what the hell is going on.
Yeah, you wouldn't send this to Israel, so stop sending this stupid stuff to us.
Right.
You're not sending it to Iraq and Israel. You're not sending it to Syria, the Ukraine, you're not sending this stupid stuff, so stop sending it to us.
You know what? The same debate I had with this young lady, who, by the way, is half our age and, is pretty much going by what society is allowing them to learn now. Don't forget, many of the curriculum, the real data, the history has been, if not completely abolished from the textbook, has been watered down or altered or filtered or Wikipedia'd to diminish capacity. Okay? But one of the things that was said was we even have a black president now. You know what? Think about it. As much as that's supposed to be the highest position in America, we all know the president don't have a damn thing to say without asking somebody, him farting, and they say, is it okay?
Right. Right.
Okay, so they gave this man, you know, well, there's a couple of reasons why this was allowed to happen, because now they can officially allow shit to go bad, and they got a black man in office to blame for it.
Right, exactly.
They can sabotage on purpose. They can sabotage on purpose, Kim, and they can say, well, you see, what's he doing about it? Bush ran this country to hell for 12 years.
Yeah,
and they passed it off to a new guy, unclean, unresolved, told him, you've got 4 years to clean up a 12-year mess. And we're watching every step you make. But he's in office, so racism isn't so bad, right?
Bull crap. You know, and the thing is, he's part of our community. He's part of our community, but he's not part of our community, okay? But he is part of our community. He's a black man. He's probably been profiled in his life. And what's funny about this is, you know, what's funny, you know, it is intolerable, you know, and that is funny, broader than what? So, you know, at least the president of the United States has officially declared that the black community is a community aside or of its own, not separate from the American community, but it's its own community. It's its own entity. The president of the United States has somehow acknowledged that, even though with this policy of bullcrap statement, either way, it's been acknowledged. All right, and that's some. There's only truth in that part of the statement, right there. The broader communities of the United States don't care. This is all on us. This is why it seems like we're moving so slow, because half of our mental energy is based on hope that the rest of the world is going to come to our aid. I don't think it is. I think it's all on us now. That's why we're so stressed out. It's just that we misappropriate and mischanneling where the stress is supposed to go. Maybe we just destined to be stressed this way to an extent. Maybe we could love it if we did the right thing with it. All right, I don't even care no more. Like, it's crazy out here. So many kids, man. You know, they're slaughtering more as we speak, probably. You know, it's crazy, and most of us could get out there, it's crazy. It's nuts. Like, what's going on? Do y'all remember what was going on? Do y'all remember Katrina? Do you remember the feeling of anguish? You know, they were shooting people down. And if you were up on the internet at that time, you saw it. They were just shooting black people down. They were already drowning.
Yep. They definitely were doing that, shooting people down for trying to save their own lives and not be drowned. Yes, I saw that. Because you know what? They have to sit there and preserve what's left of the land for everybody else to breathe on. How horrible and disgusting is that?
I also see a trend that a lot of the dominant society are actually seeing, and they're showing their support, but we shouldn't get sidetracked with that. It's now time for them to see, but we have other work that we have to do. So while they're marveling at their government shooting down their or using bullets and tear gas on their fellow citizens, we're on to the next thing, and you know, it's time to get our economic together. So
we definitely got to do something, because we're not doing enough, okay? And this is a great first step. But I will say, not even with that being said, if we start to sit right now and leave these kids standing, okay, who actually did something, and show them that, okay, now you protested, but we're not going to do anything to help you go through it, because there still might be too much problems, people. You don't want to do that. What are we telling them? Where the hell is our pride now? You know, what happened to all of that?
Wow.
Deacon, you have any more to add to this?
Uh-oh, are you still there? Hello?
Hello?
Yeah, you still there?
Yeah, I don't know. We had a little bit of a drop. Deacon, are you with me? Phalo?
Yes, Phalo's here.
Okay. Yeah, I'm sorry. There's a little bit of a glitch here, so you guys bear with me. Honestly, it's like if we don't help them carry this torch through to the end, you know, it's going to be almost like us doing what we normally do. You know, go out, say a few things, be pissed off, go back. Go out, talk about it, go back home, do nothing. These kids took a big step. You know, I was going to say a big chance, but I'm sick and tired of saying that crap, too.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm tired of that. I'm tired of letting these kids think that their right to exercise their expression or do whatever it is a risk. It's, you know, you beat the odds, so go and tread lightly. These cops are turning our people down. They're kicking pregnant women. They're arresting women naked out of their house and having them lay face first onto squad cars. They're going in and shooting people in their own homes, point blank in the head. Like we're under some guerrilla attack. Like we're under a guerrilla attack in some third world country. And this is supposed to be the land of the free.
And they're blacking the media out so the people don't know what's going on top of all the other stuff that they're doing.
This is exactly what they used to do when a real war was going on in America. They didn't want you to see the bloody images of the children and women and men that were being shot over there. Because they wanted you just to understand that we were out there and we were fighting a war for the country. You know, forgetting the fact that some of the wars that started because we stuck our damn nose into business that didn't concern us. Because there was a capitalistic view behind it. And anybody that dared to speak against the war was considered a treason person. So we definitely have to put this up. Listen, you may disagree with what we have to say, but according to our own constitution, we have the right to say it. We also have the right not to be sitting there. We also have the right not to be sitting there and getting shot down simply because you don't like the way we look.
Mm-hmm. We have the right.
We have that right.
You know, we have many rights, and that's the thing is. And the thing is, again, kudos to the children. And this is a result of us showing and helping. Some of our children have grasped on to some of the social and developmental skills we're trying to give them, communication skills, crime, drugs, you know, the victimization, the prevention skills. And I would say thank you, Katie. I would draw the connection because I'm drawing the connection over here. You know, but at the end of the day, you know, at the end of the day, the thing is, for their organization to flourish and for it not to degrade to the point where our children are victimized further, now they need to put some intellect into it and continue on with the same fervor, you know. I don't, you know, it's going on here. It's going on right now. See? It's something we're talking about, but it's going on right now. So it's like, do you work? Do you talk about do you work? You know, because it's going on at this as we speak.
Right.
Wow.
Crazy.
It's disgusting. But I do commend those children. I commend those children for doing whatever it is that they felt they needed to do to get their voices heard. Clearly, some of them are upset with their elders. You can you imagine what those kids are thinking, what made those kids come together. Uh-huh. Could you believe maybe they turned around and looked up with sad, wondering eyes to the people who were supposed to say what they're saying right now?
Yeah, it's
almost like the older children in a large family. You understand, of a single parent household. You know, daddy's gone, so mom, you know, mom is doing it by herself. I'm the oldest boy in the family. I need to take care of things. You know, mama's down, dad's not around, got to do it. This is what those children did for the community.
Mm-hmm.
And as much as, like I said, I'm not all about them going out there with bats and doing whatever the hell it is, but if this is one of the ways that they could do it, somebody's listening.
Right, right. They got their attention because obviously they didn't get their attention. Nobody got their attention during Trayvon Martin, and you have people all over the country rioting. You have people all over the country marching.
You know what, Kim? The media refused to show those things because they already knew that what went down with George Zimmerman was an injustice. So they didn't want to add fuel to the fire, which is
right.
The way these politicians are going right now. Let's not add fuel to the fire. Let's stand up like we're monk mercenaries. If that was the case, you should have told the damn police officers to have that same freaking mentality.
Right.
First, investigate. First, check out if it's a problem. First, stop going in there with a preconceived notion about a specific appearance to a person. And maybe all of this could have been prevented. Stop looking for a deflection of accountability and be accountable for the shit you caused. That's the way I feel. Lord, forgive me for the curse of the mayor. But first, start taking a look at self. Because that is, you know what? The more is love saying know thyself. This will be a wonderful time for them to use that on these cops.
Yeah.
This will be a wonderful time for that statement to be used in an appropriate manner at this moment. Know yourself. Know that I'm a racist, and I have no reason to be in a black neighborhood wearing a uniform of authority to kill. Because I might not be able to help my hormonal surge to go and kill a black man. Because I believe with all my heart and soul that they get erections when they can come after a black kid. I'm not sure if they get more hard killing a grown man or young kid.
Right.
And wipe out the in the future.
I'm going to ask.
Say that again, honey.
I want to ask, as a police officer, can you truly feel justified hurting someone if you don't feel like you can truly help them? Can you feel it? My question to a police officer of, you know, varying races, but probably a particular one. If you don't feel like you can truly help an individual, you, how can you harm them? If you don't know that, how can you wear the badge down? If you don't feel like you can help everyone.
Does anybody even come? No, think really hard. Do you really, really believe that any of these people that's racing in to become cops are becoming cops because they give a shit about what the cops stand for? You really think so? This is the new way to kill off black people. That is the most amazing, enticing occupation of choice nowadays.
Man, and they got
this is not third generation killer anymore.
They got a monument. They have a dedicated to law enforcement and so-called dedicated to falling and the laws, law enforcement. And there's lions everywhere. And it's a beautiful thing and this and that here in D.C. Yeah, and still they murder people in the street. And they just shove it off and hide it under a blue line or blue carpet and things that just made it's disgusting. How could these, like, this badge is no longer got the honor did it ever have the honor? I mean, was there law enforcement before there was a Fugitive Slave Law Act? Did they have police before then? Like, maybe there's never been an honorable position. Something needs to be done. Like, what, you know, at the end of the day, and I've always thought this, but you might disagree with me. Why is it that every black inner city, the people are not allowed to be their own militiamen, like you said? How come you can't help carry a handgun in Washington, D.C. or any other city? because it's been black for the last 30 years. That's amazing. Shouldn't that be like a damaging lawsuit or something? Shouldn't something be done about that? Because that's wrong. Because that's added to the amount of murders. That's added to the feeling of loss and hopelessness, and it's apparent and it's systematic, and it's easy to point out. Like, a lot of things that's easy to point out, I often wonder why they're not, you know, by those people with tenure and stuff. And a lot of times when I bring stuff like that to people with tenure, they don't want to, they agree with it, but they don't want to go dive into it. But at the end of the day, like right now, systematically, okay, there's a riot in Missouri, per se, you know, whatever you want to call it, but there's people standing up. At this point, I think, with a brother that I've been talking to recently that came from, I think, Georgia, he came to D.C., he's a white brother, but he said he wanted to declare his nationality in front of the White House, and he did that. You know, and he wanted to say that he was a Hebrew Israelite, and but I do want to say that, you know, the time has come, and it seems like as far as meshing with the society, it's not going to work if we want to be a righteous, strong black people with an African heritage. It's like we mesh with the society, but we have to do so in a separate mentality and intellect with it. You know, they're killing people in the street. Law enforcement cannot be looked to as aid to our life, you know, anymore. You know, we just can't do it, and that's crazy. But I guess something has to replace that. Like, we really have to put things into effect, and it's like right now, the exodus is like right now. You know, the brother I was talking to, he continues to repeat to me that 2019 is the year. That the so-called year that slavery started in 1619 would be 400 years. And he feels as though now it's time for us to exit. You know, that's a good presumption. But look at what's going on out here in the street. We get to see it every day.
They're posting that the crowds are going home. They're going home peacefully. But they'll be back tomorrow because it's, you know,
right.
They have a job.
You know, we're not a violent people as they try to portray us to be. We're not animals like they try to portray us to be. We're not, you know, looking for violence. We didn't come out there starting stuff. None of these things. And it's just ridiculous, you know. Guys, I'm down to 2 minutes left. I have to, you know, log off for tonight. We will be continuing and fueling this mission all week. So you guys be with us. You know, we were supposed to do another segment, but that has to be pushed to the back burner in honor of this. So until then, tomorrow night, everyone, be blessed. Be a blessing and make a difference. Kim, I need to speak with you afterwards, okay?
Okay.
All right. You guys have a wonderful night, and God bless you all.
Back at you.
Bye-bye. All right, honey.
Yeah.
On the Edge, we'll talk about real issues.